views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on, to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
Hi, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and I am so excited that you're joining us today. You know, it's interesting when you sit back and think about all of the people that could be affected by this show. And what I mean by that is I have an expert on this show. Her name is Pam Rambo. She has earned her doctorate in counseling and is an educational consultant. And I'm going to let her explain more what that means, but here's the gist of where we're going to go today. If you've got a student, or let's say a middle school student moving toward high school, a high school student moving toward college, what is it that you need to do? How do you prepare for finding the right school? Okay, that may be question number one. How do you pay for the doggone thing becomes question number two. What are the things that you need to do so that it works right? And then I'm going to take a step out of my comfort zone and say, and what about us adults who are bombarded today with opportunities to go back to school and earn your MBA or your EMBA or your whatever it happens to be from traditional schools, online, etc. Pam is the Dr. Rambo, but I know her as Pam. Pam is the person that can help us weave through this mess to figure out what we need to be doing. And Pam, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Straight Talk Radio.
Thank you, Chuck.
So, okay, let's get started with, and I'm not sure even the right place to get started, but let's get started with the concept of, I know you do a lot of counseling with families regarding how to navigate the field of getting into the college of your choice or your capability and how to pay for it and so forth. So start us off. Let's assume for a moment that I've got a teenager who, of course, knows everything, but they're in the ninth grade, maybe going into the 10th. And we're starting to think about, okay, where do you go for college and how do you take care of the funds to get there? What are the first things you're going to lead me down the path of?
Well, first, the parents need to have their own huddle and decide what X is. X being the amount of money that you think you're going to have to contribute toward the child's education per year. And it's okay if that's zero. If that's the case, if you've had some financial reversals, then decide how much are we willing to borrow per year? Because the government's going to offer you that opportunity to make sure that your child can go to college. If you can decide that before this discussion happens, it will really help your child because they won't feel like you're running a bait and switch thing. What most parents do is to tell a child his entire life how smart he is, how wonderful he is, because after all, he's our child. And
right.
So they tell the child he's college material and he should go to college and he can go to any college he wants. Any college he can get into, he can go to. That's what most parents leave their child with, that impression. And so children don't look at the price tag. And they look at colleges all over the place, and it creates a horrible problem in the senior year when a parent says, we know you've been accepted at this college, but it's a little more than we're comfortable paying. That creates a real problem for the child and for the parent.
Pam, I got a question. You started off with, which I really appreciate, you started off with, okay, let's get the parents together, have the huddle, and talk about what's realistic. But now I want to go backwards just a little bit, okay? With the gray hair on the side, you can tell I'm a baby boomer. And it, for some reason, and maybe it's just me, but it seems like what it is today and where it was when I was in school are like different worlds. Yeah. And what I mean by that is when I was in school, the majority of students did not have student loans. You went to school, either your parents paid, you got a scholarship, most of them were pretty small, or you got a, and I don't remember what it was called at the time, but it was a Stafford grant or a Pell grant or a something that said, hey, y'all don't have enough money to pay for this thing now, so, you know, the government's going to kick in a little, and then you got a job within the university and you paid your way through it. Now, maybe that's all still true today, but it seems like I hear so much more about student loans and students coming out of school owing just fortunes that I never heard about in 1975 through, you know, 1979.
I love to compare colleges. This is a purchasing activity, planning for college. And if you look at cars and what they cost now, what they cost 10 years ago, they are more expensive, but cars have only gone up in price a little bit. College has gone up 40% in the last decade. Can you imagine?
Wow.
And so the problem parents have is, how do you know if this commodity goes up much higher than the consumer price index? You can't predict what college is going to cost 18 years from now if you're a brand new parent. That's a real problem. So most parents today did know how much to save, and most clients I work with do not have enough saved. And so they end up using what they saved. They take one of two approaches. They end up using what they've saved, and they tell the student, okay, this is X. And we're willing to let you borrow a student loan, and maybe the parent's willing to borrow a few thousand. Or they may just say, this is X, good luck. Or they may say, this is X, we'll borrow what we have to make up the difference.
Okay.
But most clients I have, the student does borrow the $5,500 loan that the federal government offers you as a freshman, and the parents end up borrowing a little bit as well.
You know, Pam, we kind of got started with the concept of money, so let's stick with that for just a second. So in the world that we live in today, are there, in fact, and I'm going to use the term loosely, but grants that someone can receive, or is it literally you pay, the parent pays, or you borrow the money, and that's kind of where the world resides?
No, there are grants, but you have to be pretty low income.
Okay.
Based on family size and total income. And so some students will get a $5,600 Pell Grant. That's the maximum you can get. Well, if the price of the college is $27,000, or that doesn't go very far, and the student can't borrow more than $5,500 in his student loans, that's $11,000. We're a little short.
Right.
Now, the
student
might get some other grants. He might get a state grant. There are some other federal grants. He might get work study. You mentioned working.
Right.
And then there's something called a Perkins loan. That's another federal loan for low-income students. So on top of that $5,500, there might be another $2,000 available. But you can see the problem. If large universities are $20,000 and up, and the students only got maybe $10,000 to $15,000, the parent's going to end up borrowing about $5,000 at a modestly priced college, and that's a family that was low income enough that the student got the Pell Grant.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the first logical step is figuring out, okay, what can you afford? And look, you do a lot of consulting, and I'm going to have to make an assumption, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I have to assume that if someone is smart enough, to hire you, and that is RamboResearchAndConsulting.com. That's where you can find Dr. Rambo, RamboResearchAndConsulting.com. That if a family's smart enough to figure that out, they're also probably intelligent enough to work out the financial aspects that have to be met. Is that fairly true or not?
They usually don't.
They usually don't.
They're surprised when I ask them what X is. I say, you know, you ought to think about this. This isn't something you decide right off the bat. Go home and think about it. If you work with a financial advisor, talk to your financial advisor, because there are all kinds of things parents are doing now if they will work in advance on it. And so life insurance can come into play. I've talked with some financial advisors that are working on life insurance and different kinds of savings plans and moving money around to help people qualify. You know, putting money into retirement accounts where it might have been in some other kind of account because the government doesn't like to penalize parents for saving for their retirement. So I encourage families, if they're working with a financial planner, talk to the financial planner about what's coming up, because financial planners are often, almost always, certified in helping families plan for college. And so looking at where your money is right now to make sure that you're in the best possible spot to receive grants, and also you have the best possible need so that the college can give you as much money as possible, is a smart planning strategy. And then there are other things that can be done.
You know, Pam, before we go to break, there's, and I'm going to probably pronounce it wrong, is it FAFSA? Is that the...
FAFSA, F-A-F-S-A, Free Application for Federal Student Aid.
Okay. So basically that, before we go to break, that's the place where I guess you start the process by putting the information in. And it seems like I did this with my youngest son not long ago. It's pretty cut and dried. I mean, the federal government is going to take your data, take your tax information, and they're going to say, okay, here's what you qualify for. And that's pretty much the end of the story. You then take it from there. Is that accurate?
They decide what your need is, and then the college gets to package you, and you could get accepted at five colleges and get five different packages.
Gotcha. Okay, well, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. This is going to be a very, very interesting show because my guest is Dr. Pam Rambo. She has a doctorate in counseling and is one of those rare educational consultants that spends her time helping people understand how to maneuver through the college admission financial aid counseling process. So we will be back in just a moment. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and we're talking about a critically important topic for probably everybody listening on the call in some form or fashion, because as a parent, as a grandparent, fall into that category now, or as a baby boomer that might be considering going back to school, the question comes, which college, how to get into the college, and what's it going to cost me, and how do we maneuver through that minefield? My guest is Dr. Pam Rambo. She is a doctor in counseling, and it consults on a routine and regular basis with people literally all over the country about, as I say, maneuvering through the minefield and figuring out how to make this work. And Pam, I want to start off with a question. I I'm a graduate with a master's degree from Appalachian State University. When I lived in North Carolina, everybody in North Carolina was like, oh, you should go to, you know, Wake Forest, Carolina, or Duke. And so we used to joke at Appalachian and say we were UNC at Tweetsie, since they had a little railroad up there called that. And we had a blast with it. But one of the things that I have found over the years is, you know, I talk with people in business literally from all over the country, and it rarely comes up, well, where did you go to school? As if there is the snob appeal that, well, if you went to X, that's very expensive, as opposed to this other, that it made a difference. For example, in my case, I've got a master's in accounting. Well, a master's in accounting from Appalachian and a master's in accounting from Duke, probably 5 years after graduation, means nothing. It's, you went through the process. So does the reputation and the name of the school really make that much difference?
It depends on what the student is going to study, whether or not they're trying to go to graduate school. But generally, it's not where you go to college. It's what you do when you get there.
Okay, fair enough. Now, so we were talking in the last segment about issues of money and how much it costs. So advise us. So I've got a kid and we're thinking about school, and I have told, like you said, I've told him you can go anywhere you want, and then he decides he wants to go to Duke, and we've got a an Appalachian pocketbook. Let's put it that way, and that's not knocking Appalachian. It's just saying that it's less expensive than Duke. Where do we go with that?
I never tell a child that I'm not going to put a specific college on his list. But with every student I work with, we have a list of 10 colleges we're going to apply to, because we're going to go shopping just like we were going to the car lot. And before you go to the car lot, you kind of figure out what you got to spend, and you might get a good deal. So we're looking for good deals when we go shopping for colleges. And so we look at what the student's GPA is, what are his SAT or ACT scores, and then we say, what are the average SAT and ACT scores at some of these other colleges, in addition to your favorite, Duke, that have great programs in what you want to study? And I do identify the major before we even start this process. And then I put those on the list of 10, along with any other school the student has a fancy for. And we apply to all of them, and we spend all summer on their essays, so that their essays and their applications are amazing, great representations of what they can do and who they are. And then we see the offers come in, and we've had a discussion as a family and a counselor about, now money is a consideration. We have this budget. This is what X is. We're going to see what comes in, and just like if we were going out to buy a car, we're going to look at the best deals as part of the decision-making process. Usually money doesn't make the decision for the family, but it's a consideration, and it should be.
Interesting. So not the parents so much, but the students. Do you find that the students just get so enamored with a particular college because of their perception of what that college is going to be, the sports programs and what the college experience is going to be, versus I'm going to college because I'm really going to learn something and get something from this experience and make it worth the investment?
Well, you know, the student today, his experience is nothing like his parents or his grandparents had. The competition these children face is unbelievable, and the amount of work they have to do to get into a college is many times over what generations before them had to do. So they do get in love, as I call it, with colleges, and we put those colleges on the list, and they know what X is, and when we get down to it, parents take a different approach. Some parents will say, okay, here's the deal. We have saved $10,000 per year to contribute. If you want to take all of that and pay for your first year, that's on you. Or the parent may say, no, we're not going to allow you to do that. You get $10,000 per year, and that's it. Back to that idea of picking those colleges where the college would die to have your child. Oh, my gosh, if we could get your son or daughter, such that they will ante up money, then the student may have the opportunity to go to college for much less. Perhaps the college antes up, and this is not unusual. $20,000, $28,000 per year for that student. Because that student is a catch for that college. What he wants to major in could come into play. Maybe they need more majors in that program, and the student is a good academic match, maybe a little above what the college is used to getting.
Interesting. So, okay, that you know, Pam, I haven't really thought of it from the perspective that you're sharing with us, because I guess I've made an assumption, probably erroneous, that you know, in my generation, the baby boom generation, well, number one, our parents typically had not gone to college, the great majority. So we did. We, you know, have seven times the college education of our parents that preceded us. But nowadays, a college education today is like a high school degree when I came out. So I've just assumed that colleges had so many people applying that they were just turning folks away and really weren't going to be that competitive. That's interesting.
Well, there is more competition, and the competition is at the state universities. Parents, because of the economic downturn in 07 and 08, are telling their children, you know, their investments didn't do well. And they may have lost a job during that period of time. So parents are often pressuring their child to include state universities and colleges on their list. And the state universities and colleges are overrun with these applications. And these are families that maybe 10 years ago would have said to their child, yeah, you can look out of state. That's not a problem. We're willing to pay out of state rates. The other interesting thing is, sometimes I'll meet a family who says, we are not applying to any school that's out of state because we know we'll have to spend a lot of money. Actually, there are colleges out of state that are sometimes less expensive than in-state universities in your state.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that generalization is not accurate.
Interesting. And I guess, you know, I hadn't thought of this, but there's competition based upon your skill level, probably your gender, probably your race. And I would assume there are probably some out-of-state schools that might want out-of-state applicants because they need to have a certain ratio, I assume.
My favorite question to one of my students, who is a businessman, he owns his own lawn care business, and it's large for something a high school student would own. He asked me about getting into college and about getting money. And I said, well, the answer is simple. Where are your peers not applying to school? He said, North Dakota. I said, bingo.
Isn't that something?
He applied in Wyoming, Iowa, Louisiana, Hawaii. He got accepted at all of those schools. He got offered money from Hawaii. So that's an option for him.
Oh, you know, now I'm telling you, somebody said, dude, you can go to school in Hawaii and they're going to help pay my way. I believe old Chuck would be going now.
It is.
That is awesome. And, you know, such practical advice, Pam, and not something that I would have thought about. Well, where are your peers not applying? Well, you know, that's a great question because it is supply and demand.
And it's competition.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got about a minute or so before we go to break. So what are some of the issues that outside of money, what are some of the other issues that young folks and or their parents, since you do consulting with both, need to be looking at?
Find out what your child should major in before you start the college search. That can be done through counseling and testing. It saves you tons of money. It means your child will graduate on time, and he'll be at a university that has his major instead of just sending him out there willy-nilly. And it happens all the time that a student is at a college and he has to transfer. And also, help your child know who he is and what his history is, because there's that wonderful essay question. And it makes a difference in admission decisions. If the essay for the student conveys his personality and his uniqueness, that really helps the student. So if he knows how to tell his story, he can do great admissions interviews. He can also write a great admissions essay. Also, keep in mind that your child is only going to live with you another year or two or three, depending on what year you're working on this. You're laying the foundation for your adult-adult relationship. you don't want to be fighting the last year or two that your child is at home. So if you can make this a consulting relationship, a team relationship in making this decision, it will really help your child.
You know, I think that's fascinating. And I you said something a minute ago. You said, well, you know, help them understand what their major is going to be. And of course, the first thought that came to my mind is my youngest had no flipping clue. Not sure he still has a clue, to be honest with you. But he floundered. And, you know, as we get ready to go to break, I kind of have to kick myself in the butt because, you know, here I am, a reasonably intelligent person. And you're right. There are a multitude of, and I call them tests, assessments. Assessment's a better word. Assessments that would help somebody navigate through what is it that they really like that they just may not be conscious of. So when we get back, let's talk a little bit about the assessment process. My guest is Pam Rambo. She can be found at RamboResearchAndConsulting.com. She works with people literally all over the country, does multitudes of presentations, been featured on NBC News, Reuters Money, U.S. News, a multitude of places talking about this very topic. How do you navigate through the minefield of going to college? We'll be back in just a minute. Rambo is my guest, and Pam and I have connected through the National Speakers Association. Pam is an expert in counseling and helping people navigate the minefield of applying for college. And one of the things in the last segment, Pam, which, you know, as I said, I could kind of kick myself for not thinking about, is this whole concept of doing assessments to help people find out what do they really like when they think, you know, I don't have a clue. What are some of the assessments that you use or that you would advise in terms of, you know, helping, I don't know, helping the college kid or maybe the adult for that matter that might need to figure out, you know, what's my natural proclivity?
There are a couple of things that you can do that will cost you nothing. I'm always about saving money. One of them is to look at the inventory that your high school is given. It is almost always true that they will have tested your child at least in 9th or 10th grade. To try to start to get an idea of what their interests are. They may have even done it as early as junior high. If you can just start to isolate, is this student more in the math science realm, or is he more of a humanities or a business or a social sciences student, that helps tremendously just to know the general ballpark we're looking at. There are other tests that you can access. One that's free is a lot of churches will have a test on measuring your spiritual gifts. Well, those gifts turn out to correspond with a lot of things that you can do in the workplace. And so, for example, two of my gifts are discernment and hospitality, and they are the foundation of what I do for a living. And so knowing that about your child could be very helpful in helping him understand what that means. There are online tests, all kinds. The Gallup organization has a particularly good one called the UCipher, UCipher. It's the UCipher graduate, and it's at UCiphergraduate.com. It costs $39, so that's not a hefty price to pay for lifetime guidance. And so you can certainly do that and collect that information. Look at the courses the child has done well at, in school. Look at the activities he's been in. Those are all clues. Think back to when he was 3 years old. What did he do that surprised you? What did he do that began to help you understand his personality, his nature, his character? What are his friends? What's he well known for among friends and relatives? All of these are clues to what he ought to be doing.
Interesting. You know, it's kind of funny you say that. I started in college as a music major, and when I was 16 years old, this was a long time ago. Now, this was when record albums were vinyl, okay? But I decided I was going to make a record album. So I didn't have the money to do that. I wasn't, you know, raised in a wealthy family by any stretch. So I went to all the businesses in the community and said, hey, would you contribute to me making this album? And I'm going to put a little advertising flyer in it. So when they pull it out, they'll see that you contributed. Well, long story short, I made the album. It was a lot of fun, a real blast. And my mother kept an article from the local paper. Now, I didn't pay any attention to it, quite frankly, at the time. But upon her death, I found the article and read it. And it said, we don't know if he has a career in music ahead of him, but we certainly know he does in sales. And I was flabbergasted because at the time I read it, I was a senior VP of sales and marketing in a public company. So sometimes, and I think you're right, our natural gifts just are going to bubble to the surface, and it's the obvious place. And I ended up as a business major, which would make sense.
You can also talk to your child about community college for the first 2 years. Let's say he wants to go to a really expensive school. Well, he could go to a moderately cost school for 4 years, or maybe he'd be willing to go to a lower cost school the first 2 years, save a whole lot of money, maybe work while he's going to school in a job he's had during high school, and then transfer to that be-all, end-all school that he wants to go to.
You know, I was getting – it's funny that you mentioned that because I was literally getting ready to go down that road. So in your experience although, yeah, I know it's fun to say I'm gone off to school and I'm a freshman and I go to the football games and have the experience of being in college, is there any detriment to doing the community college route? And I guess you get the associate degree or at least the prep work for moving into the school of your choice.
Here's how I'd qualify having a successful community college experience. Make sure that the community college that you choose is a great one. And there are many great ones. And by great, I mean not only do they have a lovely building and a great faculty, but do they give you the support service that you're going to get at the university? And by that, I mean career counseling, and do they give great help with deciding where to transfer and making sure you only take the courses that transfer? Because the challenge at a community college is that there are so many different kinds of certificates, diplomas, and degrees, and not all of them transfer. So you want to make sure your student is going to get good support service. If that's the case, it's not going to make a difference whether he goes to community college or the other option is a local, low-cost four-year college and live at home. So
now,
options.
Pam, I want to stick with the community college for just a second because I can just hear somebody on the radio saying, well, okay, if I do the community college first, do I have a better chance of getting into the school of my dreams? In other words, let's say I'm a marginal high school student. You know, I don't know what the grade point average is these days. It seems to have changed, but you know, I'm a marginal high school student, a B high school student. I probably don't have the grades to get into Duke, but if I go and do my community college and do a good job and have good grades there, will my odds improve of getting into the place that I want to graduate from?
Whether you choose a community college or a more moderate competition four-year college, if you burn it up as a freshman or sophomore, you will have a great chance to get in as a junior at the four-year college of your dreams.
Okay. Now, see, that's great information.
There'll be room for you.
Okay. Well, and see, that's great information because, you know, so many times you find students, and my youngest son, I'll be the first to admit, went to school and the first 2 years was a challenge. He wasn't emotionally prepared for what took place and might have been better served to be in, I'm not saying a more restrictive environment in a negative way, but a more controlled environment to help him really get focused so that he could get the outcome that he ultimately would have wanted.
Yeah, and as long as it's a good quality community college with great support services, that's a great choice. And, you know, you can apply the same thing to four-year schools. Some give more support than others.
Right. Okay, so let me switch gears. We've got, four minutes or so left in this segment. I want to talk to you about your new book, but before we go to the new book, I got to ask this question. What are your opinions now on online universities? There's a gazillion of them. The University of Phoenix, North Central University, Capella, Walden, et cetera, that seem to be offering bachelor's, master's, doctorate degrees. Talk to me a little bit about where that is today, because it seems like at one point they were really, but there certainly are a lot of them. So what's the deal?
I would say to a family who's considering online education for their child, another way to save money in most cases. However, some of those schools are more expensive than the local four-year school, and so you might not save money. The other issue is quality. One will differ from the other in quality. But when you see Georgia Tech offering a master's degree in business for $7,500, you know you've got a bargain. And there are a lot of major universities doing that. So that would be what I would say to you is the state universities are doing that now. So, you know, it could be a really good deal. It depends on whether or not the child is the kind of young person who learns well online.
Wow. Whoa. Did you say Georgia Tech had a master's in business for $7,500?
Yeah.
Wow.
They opened it, I think, 2 years ago. The price may have gone up lately, but
wow.
It was quite a splash when they offered that.
Isn't that fascinating? Well, you know, in the world that we live in today, I mean, even our radio show, you're in one state, I'm in another, and it's being engineered across the country. When you look at the accessibility of technology, you know, it does make sense that there is something to be said for being able to learn distance learning and online learning if you have the discipline to make that work for yourself.
Yes.
Now, before we go to break, I know that you spend a lot of time doing consulting work with folks, but you also spend a fair amount of time speaking about this. So if we have folks that are listening on our show that are thinking, you know, gosh, I wish I had someone like you, I assume the best way to reach you is through your website. Is that right?
Yes.
And that's Rambo Research and consulting.com. Rambo Research and consulting.com. Now, before we go to break, when we come back on our next segment, I want to talk about your new book, but tell me again, because it's so fascinating, the title of the book that is soon to come out.
The Used Car Salesman's Guide to Buying a College.
The Used Car Salesman's Guide to Buying a College. Okay, you know, for a lady who has her doctorate, you can really bring things down home and make it interesting. When we get back, we'll talk about the Used Car Salesman's Guide to Buying a College. And, you know, think a little bit about the idea not only of going to college, but I'd also like to talk a little bit about going to graduate school. And the types of degrees that really are, good investments. I guess some people go to graduate schools with the idea that, you know, there's something that they just really want to study. And I understand that. But I assume others probably have a little better payoff. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Dr. Pam Rambo. She is an expert when it comes to college and how to navigate the minefields of getting there. We're going to talk about her new book and talk about graduate school when we get back after this short break. Stick with us. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and my guest is Dr. Pam Rambo. She is brilliant when it comes to maneuvering, if I could spit it out. I might need to go to college for pronunciation. I've jokingly said to people, I am bilingual. I speak English and fractured Southern. And sometimes that fractured Southern might come out a little bit on this radio show. But if you go to RamboResearchAndConsulting.com, you're going to find a wealth of information. One of the things I'd like to direct you to as you listen to this show is her blog. When you go to her website, there's a blog called College Talk Blog. And if you want to really get some great information and kind of connect you with the flavor of the types of things that Pam brings to the table, I think that is a great place. Wonderful information that I think you'll want to share as well. Pam, we've talked about college all the way around, and you're working on a book, soon to finish it up, a Used Car Salesman's Guide to Buying a College. Tell me about the book.
Well, the premise of the book is that you would not let your child drive a lemon. So why let him graduate from one?
Ooh, I love that.
And a lemon might be one of those colleges that you read about in the paper that just, you know, that closed up yesterday or that the federal government is investigating. But also a lemon could be a college that's just not right for your son or daughter. It's too big. It's too far away. It doesn't have the right major. Or the people at that college are not your son or daughter's peeps. There are lots of reasons why a college doesn't fit a child right. And you want to make sure that no matter where your son or daughter goes, it's a good fit.
That's a fascinating, you know, you come up with things that, you know, you would think the average person would think about. But in all honesty, finding something that's the right fit is incredibly important. And not to be funny with this statement, but I recently had back surgery and I used to drive a Jeep and I loved that car. It was wonderful, but it beat me to death. So I finally decided I needed to trade cars because what was now a better fit was something that was more comfortable for my back to ride in. So, you know, if you're absolutely right. If you're willing to do that with an automobile, why wouldn't you, especially with the investment that's involved, do that for college?
Yeah.
Now, tell me, you know, again, I'm still enamored by the title of the book. So give me two or three things out of the book that you think that would really be an eye opener for the student or for the parent.
Well, do you need a Cadillac college or will an economy college do?
Okay.
Many people think they've got to go to a Duke, a University of Virginia, Harvard. And we talked a few minutes ago about how you don't need to do that. And there are many, many unsung colleges out there that are fabulous and will do more for your child. I love to teach children about the big fish, small pond concept, that a small college might give you 10 times more advantage than a large university, as an example.
Right.
For a lot less money.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. You and I both know this, and I'm not passing judgment on the college itself, but I think it's fascinating to watch the most recent history of High Point University, because through NSA with Nito Quibane there, the one thing that is fascinating is it's a different experience, and certainly a person graduating from there did not graduate from Harvard, but they doggone sure are going to have some connections that will carry them a long way. So it might be big fish, small pond, but where do you get the connections? Where can you find those connections that will advance your career and your life moving forward?
Some colleges have great career planning and placement services. And after all, don't we want our child to get a BA or a BS and a JOB at graduation? And to give you an idea of how wonderful High Point is, I met someone in my own community of Williamsburg, Virginia, and I went to a conference and ran into some of Nito's admission staff members, and I was telling them, you know, I met a child in my community. I can't remember her last name. Her first name was, do you know they knew who it was?
Oh, my goodness.
I was visiting here. She's not even from here. Wow. I was amazed, and that is such an advantage to have a college that cares about you, where they truly know your name while you're there and after you graduate.
Right. Now, Pam, one of the things that I mentioned was it seemed like that in the old days, a college degree was something. And now it's almost as if you need to have a master's degree to take it kind of to that next level. So should the student be naturally thinking about a graduate degree that goes beyond their bachelor's?
Well, we plan their career before they ever hit their freshman year. And if they need a graduate degree, they know. And how cool is it if you start college knowing that? So that means you could be really judicious in the credits you take, and you could be in a position where the second semester of your senior year, you finished your courses, or a lot of them, and you get permission to take some of your graduate work before you get your bachelor's, which shortens the time to get your master's degree. Also, I tell students about ways that people go through graduate school at much less cost because there are employers that will reimburse you for graduate courses. So it's not true that all students need to go full time and get that graduate degree right after their bachelor's, but it is an advantage. It is nice to get it done.
Okay, so now I'm going to get real personal with me. The folks on the radio might be like, okay, where's he going with this? But I've got to ask this one simple question. So I have literally considered getting a doctorate. And the question that I keep asking myself is it a doctor's, a DBA or a PhD? Now, let me just be real candid with you, okay? I like the PhD title, but I could care less about research. Research is not what I care about. I care about the transmission of information in a way that is going to be beneficial, not just research for research's sake. So is there any blurred lines that you see when people start thinking about getting a doctorate?
It doesn't matter. That's the blurred line.
Okay.
For most of us, it doesn't. I have a doctorate only because it was like Mount Everest. I just wanted to do it. It helped me in my career, but it wasn't required. I did learn a great deal. So I would say if you go after a doctorate, go after the doctorate that feeds your soul, that covers the material that you want to go beyond what you have in. And it doesn't matter whether it's a PhD, an EdD, or whatever it might be.
Okay. Well, this is absolutely great. Great advice. Do you find today, Pam, in the few minutes that we have left, do you find today that you are advising still the majority of people that are in, you know, we'll call it high school, moving into their bachelor's degree, or is it moving more toward adult education and people who are, you know, the baby boomers or so that are looking for advanced degrees?
It has evolved. My base is high school students, but I have community college students at community colleges who need more guidance than their particular school can give. They want help transferring. Where do I go next? How do I do it? I have students who graduated from college who are out in the world work for a couple of years going, is this all there is? Should I go back to graduate school? And I advise them about that. Sometimes we do a little testing to see if they're in the right field. And most of the time they don't need to go back to school, but they can. And then I have people who want to go on for the ultimate professional degrees, the doctoral degrees, and they want guidance on how do I get in, where do I go?
Okay. For those of you that have been listening, this has been a fascinating discussion, and it is hard to navigate the world of colleges and universities. Pam said at the beginning, you know, they've gone up 40% over the past decade. Nothing else seems to have gone up quite like that. For the life of me, I don't know why, but let me do this before we get off the show. You can go to Rambo, R-A-M-B-O, like, you know, Rambo the movie, RamboResearchAndConsulting.com, RamboResearchAndConsulting.com. When you're on the website, there's a majority, a wonderful amount of information. The blog is outstanding, but if you want to contact Pam Rambo, there is, of course, the Contact Us tab, and I am sure that you would be delighted. Pam is very generous. She provides her email address, she provides her telephone number, and a way to say, here's the information to get on the mailing list. And Pam, I am sure you would welcome the opportunity to talk with people who want to navigate this minefield as well.
Absolutely. I've been called the education fairy godmother, and then somebody else called me in the press an education evangelist.
Okay. Well, you know what? Either one of those will work. And if you're a fairy godmother, I am good with that, dear. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest has been Dr. Pam Rambo. She is an education fairy godmother. Go to RamboResearchAndConsulting.com if you want to have some help getting your child moving in the right direction or yourself moving in the right direction for higher education. Again, remember on Straight Talk Radio, we always end with every choice we make in life has a consequence. And there has not been a better show to talk about that than this one, because certainly the consequences are significant based upon the colleges and universities that we choose. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and we look forward to you joining us again for a great show next week. Thanks for being here.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.